Bonjour, je m'appelle Holly Langlais. Aujourd'hui, j'aimerais vous présenter mon podcast, qui est la France. La France est située en Europe, à côté d'Autriche, Italie et Allemagne. En haut est le Royaume-Uni et en bas est l'Espagne. L'adoption de drapeau est en 1812, en premier et en dernier, c'était le 5 mars 1848. Le couleur du drapeau est tricolore, qui veut dire que c'est seulement trois couleurs, le bleu, blanc et rouge. Mais l'ordre spécifique est le rouge, blanc et bleu. Pour déjeuner, ils mangent pour le matin, mais ils mangent le café, le lait, le thé, le chocolat et les tartines de pain avec beurre ou confiture. Pour le dîner et aussi souper, ils commencent avec l'entrée, qui est les salades, le soupe ou le pâté. Pour le plat principal, ils mangent la viande ou le poisson, des patates, du riz ou du pasta. Pour dessert, ils mangent beaucoup de types de fromage avec un peu plus d'options, comme des macarons ou des gâteaux. Pour les langues, la langue que c'est important, c'est évidemment le français. Et ça fait très 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 longtemps depuis qu'ils ont commencé à l'utiliser comme langue officielle de France. Tu peux encore trouver plusieurs personnes qui parlent en anglais, mais c'est sûrement plus difficile à les trouver. Les religions plus utilisées sont la chrétienne, le catholisme et le judaïsme. Les places plus importantes sont la Tour Eiffel, le Musée de l'Louvre, la cathédrale Notre-Dame et le château de Versailles. J'ai fait ce sujet quand je voulais toujours aller en France. Alors, si je sais tout à propos à ce sujet, je vais savoir exactement quelle place à visiter, qu'est-ce que je veux manger et plus. Je trouve que ce podcast était une très bonne solution à apprendre tout à propos de la France. Merci pour m'écouter. Ce serait Holly Langlais. Good day, everyone, and welcome to Holly's channel. In this channel, we'll be reading Beyond the Spiderwick Chronicles, Book 1. Today, we'll be reading the first chapter, and hopefully you guys enjoy it. So let's get reading. The Nancy Scrub. To my grandfather Harry, who liked to make up stories, H.B. To all my friends and family back in Florida, these images of my old home are for you, T.B. Storied old New England is where the vast tale was born. Three kids, an antique house, a book, a dad from daughter torn, an unexpected escapade into a tricksy land with dangers unpredictable. So very close at hand. The kids were tested fearless. The book was lost and found. The dad was reunited then, passed out with, on without a sound. Evil suddenly thwarted like in fairy tales of lands. But there's no happy ending, no, because the tale was told. To Tony Desert Tully and his partner, Holly Black, they took the story coast to coast around the globe and back. Then that pair chose the secrets and put them into a book, a guide to all the fantastical for all who care to look. Now each and every single day the story grows and grows. It wanders beneath ripples, birches, pine, and mangroves. So when you walk among the trees, look close to them and do not blink, because the world you're entering is bigger than you think. So let's go to page one. Chapter 1, in which there are many different sorts of developments. After his mother's died, Nicholas Fergus stopped bothering. His aunt Amarna had told him to be good and not to bother his father, but he decided that her advice could extend to everyone and everything. It seemed that Nick's brother had the same idea. Jules never hung around long enough to bother anyone anymore. So the whole family kept on not bothering each other right up until Nick and Joel's dad suddenly decided to get married again, leading his new stepsister up to the carpeted stairs. Nick had to keep his jaw clenched to stop himself from shouting. He hated that he had to give up his room and moved in with Jules, who snored all night and woke up the cracks of dawn to go surfing. If his father had married his stepmother after only 6 months of dating, Nick would still have his room, and he wouldn't be stuck with a bedroom-stealing stepsister. Lori was almost exactly his age, and the biggest, weirdest loser he'd ever met. She bothered everyone. Nick thought he was being fair about it, too, because he'd been called a loser and a nerd and a spaz himself. He was 11, kind of fat, and bad at sports. While Julian shredded waves and made it to state and track, the only thing Nick thought he was really good at was school. And that was mostly about being quiet and following directions. So, okay, he knew he wasn't cool. At least he knew better than to advertise everything lame about himself. Lori seemed to be proud of the lamest person alive. "What are you thinking about?" Lori asked him, hugging a box to her chest. Her skirt brushed the floor, making the little bells along the hem jingle. Nick cringed and set down another box of her crap on the campy bed. All the boxes seemed to be labeled unicorns, fairies, or books about unicorns and fairies. A few of them had even bled glitter onto the hall rug. "Things I hate," said Nick. "Like what?" Lori tucked a tangle of blonde hair behind her ear. Bracelets clattered at her wrist. He was tempted to tell her clowns, he said instead. "They creep me out." "I hate my name," she told him, like he'd just given her the green light to overshare. "I wish I'd been called Laura Nathana." "That's stupid," said Nick. "Everyone would make fun of you." "I don't care what people think," Lori said simply. She meant it. He wanted to snap at her to tell her that everyone cared what people think about them. But his dad told him to be civil on moving day. He sighed, "Okay, so what stuff do you like?" He looked out her window at the empty concrete shells of houses going up all around theirs. Then it had been in his window he'd like to watch it as workers poured in smooth foundations and cut planks and nailed them in place. He liked to smell the sawdust to see his dad's development was finally really happening. Even though there was still some swampy forest left, soon it would all be cut back and turned into a golf course, swimming pools, and lots of other cool things, stuff he liked. He'd imagined playing out there with other kids, but the construction was behind schedule. Nothing was done. His dad kept complaining about the weather. It was the hottest summer he could remember. And that, along with the brush fires and water rotationing, had everyone on edge. The sun had turned the grass on the front lawn crunchy and brown, and Nicholas's dad had filled a pool in the backyard, even though he usually fills the pool as soon as they were built. Now, with the rainy season about to start, Nick's whole summer was turning out to be as lame as his stepsister. "I like all this stuff, I guess." Lori stacked books onto her white bedboard shelves. They were mostly fantasy and fairy tales, but she'd set aside a big tome that had gold letters and what looks like a hawk on the cover. "What's that?" he said. "A field guide, so you can tell which kind of fairies are which. I bet there are a lot of ground here, because there's so much nature. You don't really believe in that stuff, do you?" He took the book from her and flipped through it. It was filled with paintings and sketches of things that made their hair along with his arms stand up. They didn't look like fairies. He slipped to the back. "This isn't some kind of ancient magical text. It's fake. It was published in 2005 in New York." "It's a reprint," Lori told him. "Look," he said, turning the book towards her. "It says fiction inside. Explain that. They had to put that there," Lori said, taking it out of his hands, "so that they get troubled or sued. And if you don't believe me, you can ask authors yourself, since they're signing." "Hey, kids," Nick's father called from downstairs in the new cheerful voice used around Lori and Charlene. "Lunch!" After Nick and Julian's mom died, before their dad had decided needed to be to impress Charlene and her wacko daughter, lunch had been cold slices of leftover pizza from the night before, or on at least one occasion, a piece of apple pie with cheese melted on it. Now, apparently, it was alphabet soup and blanc sandwiches with the crust cut off. Nick wanted to hurl. Downstairs in the kitchen, Julian was already sitting in the granite island. Earbud cord hung out from his head, and his thumbs jabbed into the grain console cradled in his hand. His hair was stiffed with salt. He didn't even look up when Nick sat down next to him. Lori still had the stupid book tucked under one arm. "After lunch, I'm going to look for fairies," she told her mother. Charlene smiled mildly. "Maybe Nick can go with you, show you around the neighborhood?" Nick scowled at his soup. Charlene said okay, but he wished she wasn't around all the time, and he wished we would stop trying to make him be friends with her daughter. Although Charlene did seem to figure it out yet, he was willing to ignore them if they just ignore him back. Lori took a bowl and crumbled a handful of goldfish crackers into it, making a mess. It seemed to matter what Lori did or how bothersome it was. No one was going to tell her to stop. Fairies, Nick's dad said with a grin, tucking a paper napkin into his collar. I thought they were only in England down here. The problem, oh, bugs. I'll get the lizards, though. Nick sticker. They're not all small, you know, said Lori. She clearly didn't think his dad's joke was funny, which, in Nick's opinion, only made it funnier. It's too hot to look for anything, Nick said, smiling down at his reflection in the granite. Especially things that don't exist. Nick's dad frowned, and then rubbed his bridge off his nose. Maybe we all upset this joke. Hadn't gone over all that well? Go help her look. Keep her from getting lost. Nick pushed all the noodle letters in the soup that spelled lame. Lame like the summer. Like his stepsister. Look how he felt as he slurped his soup down and without saying a thing, followed Lori into the yard. And tomorrow we will read chapter 2. Thank you for listening, and this was Hallie. Goodbye. Good day, everyone, and welcome to Hallie's channel. In this channel, we'll be reading Beyond the Spiderwick Chronicles, book 1. Today, we'll be reading the first chapter, and hopefully you guys enjoy it. So let's get reading. The Nixy Scrub. To my grandfather Harry, who liked to make up stories, H.B. To all my friends and family back in Florida, these images of my old home are for you, T.B. Storied old New England is where the vast tale was born. Three kids, an antique house, a book, a dad from daughter tour, an unexpected escapade into a tricksy land with dangers unpredictable. So very close at hand. The kids were tested fearless. The book was lost and found. The dad was reunited then, passed out without a sound. Evil suddenly thwarted like in fairy tales of old. But there's no happy ending, no, because the tale was told. To Tony Desert Delete and his partner, Holly Black, they took the story coast to coast around the globe and back. Then that pair chose the secrets and put them into a book, a guide to all the fantastical for all who care to look. Now each and every single day the story grows and grows. It wanders beneath ripples, birches, pine, and mangroves. So when you walk among the trees, look close to and do not blink, because the world you're entering is bigger than you think. So let's go to page 1. Chapter 1, in which there are many different sorts of developments. After his mother's died, Nicholas Fergus stopped bothering. His aunt Amarna had told him to be good and not to bother his father, but he decided that her advice could extend to everyone and everything. It seemed that Nick's brother had the same idea. Jules never hung around long enough to bother anyone anymore. So the whole family kept on not bothering each other right up until Nick and Joel's dad suddenly decided to get married again, leading his new stepsister up to the carpeted stairs. Nick had to keep his jaw clenched to stop himself from shouting. He hated that he had to give up his room and moved in with Jules, who snored all night and woke up the cracks of dawn to go surfing. If his father had married his stepmother after only 6 months of dating, Nick would still have his room, and he wouldn't be stuck with a bedroom-ceiling stepsister. Lori was almost exactly his age, and the biggest, weirdest loser he'd ever met. She bothered everyone. Nick thought he was being fair about it, too, because he'd been called a loser and a nerd and a spaz himself. He was 11, kind of fat, and bad at sports. While Julian shredded waves and made it to state and track, the only thing Nick thought he was really good at was school. And that was mostly about being quiet and following directions. So okay, he knew he wasn't cool, At least he knew better than to advertise everything lame about himself. Lori seemed to be proud of the lamest person alive. "What are you thinking about?" Lori asked him, hugging a box to her chest. Her skirt brushed the floor, making the little bells along the hem jingle. Nick cringed and set down another box of her crap on the canopy bed. All the boxes seemed to be labeled unicorns, fairies, or books about unicorns and fairies. A few of them had even bled glitter onto the hall rug. "Things I hate," said Nick. "Like what?" Lori tucked a tangle of blonde hair behind her ear. Bracelets clattered at her wrist. He was tempted to tell her clowns, he said instead. "They creep me out." "I hate my name," she told him, like he'd just given her the green light to overshare. "I wish I'd been called Laura Nathana." "That's stupid," said Nick. "Everyone would make fun of you." "I don't care what people think," Lori said simply. She meant it. He wanted to snap at her to tell her that everyone cared what people think about them. But his dad told him to be civil on moving day. He sighed. "Okay, so what stuff do you like?" He looked out her window at the empty concrete shells of houses going up all around theirs. Then it had been his window he'd like to watch it as workers poured in smooth foundations and cut planks and nailed them in place. He liked to smell the sawdust to see his dad's development was finally really happening. Even though there was still some swampy forest left, soon it would all be cut back and turned into a golf course, swimming pools, and lots of other cool things, stuff he liked. He'd imagined playing out there with other kids, but the construction was behind schedule. Nothing was done. His dad kept complaining about the weather. It was the hottest summer he could remember. And that, along with the brush fires and water rotationing, had everyone on edge. The sun had turned the grass on the front lawn crunchy and brown, and Nicholas's dad had filled the pool in the backyard, even though he usually fills the pool as soon as they were built. Now, with the rainy season about to start, Nick's whole summer was turning out to be as lame as his stepsister. "I like all this stuff, I guess." Lori stacked books onto her white bedboard shelves. They were mostly fantasy and fairy tales, but she'd set aside a big tome that had gold letters and what looks like a hawk on the cover. "What's that?" he said. "A field guide, so you can tell which kind of fairies are which. I bet there are a lot of ground here, because there's so much nature. You don't really believe in that stuff, do you?" He took the book from her and flipped through it. It was filled with paintings and sketches of things that made their hair along with his arms stand up. They didn't look like fairies. He slipped to the back. "This isn't some kind of ancient magical text. It's fake. It was published in 2005 in New York." "It's a reprint," Lori told him. "Look," he said, turning the book towards her. "It says fiction inside. Explain that. They had to put that there," Lori said, taking it out of his hands, "so that they get troubled or sued. And if you don't believe me, you can ask authors yourself, since they're signing." "Hey, kids," Nick's father called from downstairs in the new cheerful voice used around Lori and Charlene. "Lunch!" After Nick and Julian's mom died, before their dad had decided needed to be to impress Charlene and her wacko daughter. Lunch had been cold slices of leftover pizza from the night before, or on at least one occasion, a piece of apple pie with cheese melted on it. Now, apparently, it was alphabet soup and blanc sandwiches with the crust cut off. Nick wanted to hurl. Downstairs in the kitchen, Julian was already sitting in the granite island. Earbud cord hung out from his head, and his thumbs jabbed into the grain console, cradled in his hand. His hair was stiffed with salt. He didn't even look up when Nick sat down next to him. Lori still had the stupid book tucked under one arm. "After lunch, I'm going to look for fairies," she told her mother. Charlene smiled mildly. "Maybe Nick can go with you, show you around the neighborhood?" Nick scowled at his soup. Charlene said okay, but he wished she wasn't around all the time, and he wished we would stop trying to make him be friends with her daughter. Although Charlene did seem to figure it out yet, he was willing to ignore them if they just ignore him back. Lori took a bowl and crumbled a handful of goldfish crackers into it, making a mess. It seemed to matter what Lori did or how bothersome it was. No one was going to tell her to stop. Fairies, Nick's dad said with a grin, tucking a paper napkin into his collar. I thought they were only in England down here. The problem, no bugs. I'll get the lizards, though. Nick stick. They're not all small, you know, said Lori. She clearly didn't think his dad's joke was funny, which, in Nick's opinion, only made it funnier. It's too hot to look for anything, Nick said, smiling down at his reflection in the granite. Especially things that don't exist. Nick's dad frowned, and then rubbed his bridge off his nose. Maybe we all upset this joke. Hadn't gone over all that well? Go help her look. Keep her from getting lost. Nick pushed all the noodle letters in the soup that spelled lame. Lame like the summer. Like his stepsister. Look how he felt as he slurped his soup down and without saying a thing, followed Lori into the yard. And tomorrow we will read chapter 2. Thank you for listening, and this was Hallie.